Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The thing that worries me this week is I can tell he's got that look in his eyes. Bill O'Brien really wants to establish the run. I want to make this three tight end thing work. I want to establish the run. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you really, really want to establish the run, you beat a team that you should crush by 1 point at the end of the game.
Landry Locker, Clint Sterner live at Little Woodrow's Midtown. Come by, say hi. I got to tell you, Clint, that scares the living crap out of me when I hear it. Of all the things we've talked about, the notion or the thought of Bill O'Brien trying to force the run when it ain't there.
Look here.
It makes me sick.
Come on, Lock Dog. Let me bring you back down.
It makes me sick, bro.
Come on back down with me, baby. Come on back down to Little Woodrow's in Midtown with me. And don't go getting sick
I'm
on me now.
I'm climbing up the building. I'm about to jump off.
Don't do it, baby. Come on. Let me talk you off of it. It's not about forcing the run, right? This is not a football team that can force the run. There's a difference in forcing the run and trying to establish the run. Forcing the run means you are running the ball at all costs. In our playbook back in the day, it was slice right. R with a big capital R and a big capital I next to it. That meant run it. No matter what, you run it, okay? Mm. So if a defense put an extra hat in the box, you ran it. It didn't matter. This is not – the Houston Texans are not a football team that have a bunch of capital R's and capital I's in their playbook. This is not a run-it football team, not from the run game perspective, right? This is a football team that win, and this is what I take Seth's comments as, and this is what I've taken Bill O'Brien's comments as, is – when the numbers are right, when the techniques that you're looking for, the
explain
three
what the numbers mean for the people out there.
Okay, if you got a five-man box, you got four down linemen and you got one linebacker, right? You got five offensive linemen up front, so you got a helmet for a helmet, five defenders in the box. The box is tackle to tackle, the outside leg of each tackle to tackle. If there's a tight end attached to a tackle, then you take that one step further and you go to the outside leg of that tight end. But it's whoever's attached to the line of scrimmage, whoever's got their hand in a three-point stance, their hand in the dirt, their outside legs, that's how wide the box is, and then it extends 5 yards down the field. That's the box. Generally speaking, that's the box, okay? If you've got a middle linebacker and four down linemen in it, you've got five offensive linemen up there, you run the rock, you got a hat for a hat, there should be a seam, okay? That is establishing the run. Now, when the defense takes and they bring a safety down or they bring a backer inside and they got six hats in the box, six defenders in that area, and you've got five offensive linemen, clearly you don't have the numbers. Somebody in that scheme is unblocked. And so now you pull it, you throw it, you got a screen, you got a quick ball you can throw with Will Fuller and Hopkins. You can take a shot down the field. Or if you want to, when you got Deshaun Watson, you can call a quarterback plus one run, right? So now if it's a quarterback plus one run, if I got six guys in the box and five offensive linemen, and I want to catch the rock and run it as a quarterback, the tailback now leads the way through the hole. And now what do I got? I got six blockers for six defenders. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
It's all a head count. It's all a hat count. If I've got five blockers for five defenders in the box, boom. That's establishing a run. That's not forcing the run. This is not an offensive football team that in any way, shape, or form, it will ever try to force the run.
What? Shouldn't.
Yeah, shouldn't. They
okay,
should
I was
going
to say, because we talk about these close games that the Texans have played. It seems like that's what they've been trying to do a lot of times. And it seems like that's what they're doing at the start of games when they're not scoring points.
Well, then it may be. If you go back, if somebody's inserting into the box late or if somebody's inserting themselves into the box backside, I mean, there's ways that they can do it late. But if we're just talking football 101, when you get that box count, if you've got a hat for a hat up front, you should run the rock, right? Me and you talk a lot about safeties. If you got two on the roof, if you got two high safeties, you gotta have a hat for a hat in the run game, and you should be able to run it. If you can't, I don't care what level of football you're talking, Locke. If you can't run the football versus two high safeties, then you need to get a new running back and a new offensive line because it's gonna be a long ass year.
Well, why do you have to run it if when you have the personnel that the Texans have?
You don't have to. Well, you don't have to run it. It is very, very powerful if you can establish the run, because a lot less can go wrong when you're running the football. A lot less. When you start throwing around an incomplete pass, puts you in a bad spot, man.
I hear B.O.B. talking like we didn't run the ball well enough against the Pats and all this kind of stuff. I just feel like there's so much more meat on the bone when it comes to spreading the rock out, up tempos, throw it to New, well, throw it to Stills, no, throw
and,
it to
and,
these
and
guys.
You know what? They're set up, Lock Dog. They're set up. The Texans, this is why their roster's so beautiful, is they're set up. And they're strong at so many different skill positions. If they will just take what the defense gives them, literally, if it's a five-man box count, run the rock. They should be able to go make hay. If they're six-man, then throw it. Now, look, there's schemes in second and 10 and third and 10. You obviously can't do that, so it's no longer about a box count. It's about designing plays to attack that certain coverage. And they've done a good job of that at times, and they've done a poor job of that at times, i.e. the Baltimore game or the Carolina game or the Jacksonville game. They've struggled from time to time. There's no doubt about it. But establishing the run is key, man. You want your football team to establish the run, period, point blank. If you can do that, you can win football games.
But if it's not there, don't try to force it. That's the problem.
Well,
that's what they've been known to do.
And if it's not there, well, there's such, like last week, okay? I don't know this, but if you go back and Bill O'Brien talking about you got to run the football better against New England. Sure, he would have liked to have ran it better out of the gate in the first drive. But more importantly, he would like to have been able to run it in the fourth quarter when they went three and out. They had a quick turn and had to punt and give them another chance to score. Those are the times when you really want to be able to force the run, is in those late game situations, 4-minute offense situations. That's not – I think the Texans are a long way away from that. The Texans' 4-minute offense needs to consist of a heavy dose of RPOs with Deshaun Watson, throwing the easy ball to Fails, throwing the easy ball to Hopkins, and then getting some run game mixed in there. That needs to be the Texans' 4-minute offense. They're never going to be a team in any situation that they're going to run the football with an extra hat in the box. Boy, I just don't see that happening.
It would be nice if Kiki QT weren't in the doghouse, Mike. Goodness,
yeah.
I thought he was going to be a factor this year.
Hey, thought like lit. Thought you farted, but you look out now.
I don't know what that country lingo was, Clint. You got me confused.
Think about it. You know what it is. George, you know what's going on, don't you?
Clint Sterner, Landry Locker, live at Little Woodrow's Midtown. Come by, register, tickets to the Texas Bowl. There's about to be a college football game on the screen in less than 2 hours with
There's screens everywhere in here, baby.
Championship implications. Clint, I'm going to give you a chance to apologize to the people of Houston saying that Bill O'Brien outcoached Bill Belichick Sunday.
I am never above apologizing. I will ask for forgiveness. I will say that I was wrong. I have no problem doing that. My ego is hung at the door on a daily basis. Here's the deal, though. Bill O'Brien outcoached Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots last Sunday.
You're doubling down, man.
I'm doubling down, baby. Let's talk about it.
You're going to die on this.
Let's talk about it. The defensive game plan.
That's Romeo.
Well, hell, who are you? When I say Bill O'Brien, I'm talking about the staff. I ain't talking about, like, Bill O'Brien himself.
Yeah, but that's all Romeo. Bill O'Brien ain't telling Romeo what to do.
That's not the point. Okay. So now when we have that conversation, we can't talk about how good the defense played?
No, that's all Romeo.
Okay, so what are you going to do? You want to talk about the offense?
The offense was good.
You want me to leave the defense off the play?
Yes. We're
talking about just the offense.
That's Romeo.
Okay, the offensive game plan. I'll start out with the obvious. That team had been – that defense, even though I do agree with you, I think the numbers are deceiving. I think they're a little misleading. But that defense in New England, when they came to Houston on Sunday, they were giving up just over 10 points a game. Best in the league. Best in the league, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Texans go out there and put up 28 points in three quarters, okay? Let me tell you about this. They come out in the first drive, and they realize that tight end – tailback to one side with the trio of receivers to the opposite side, the Texans have an advantage. They're getting Duke Johnson on an outside linebacker who couldn't cover me in space. What'd they do? They next drive, first quarter, Duke Johnson in the red zone for a touchdown. That's the offensive coach beating the defensive coach. That defensive coach had a guy covering Duke Johnson that literally couldn't cover me on an option route. That's a win. That's a coaching win. Okay, let's go to number two. I don't remember when they got down there, but when the touchdown to Darren Fells was pulled completely off the Baltimore
the
film. Nope, it was an RPO. I guess he may have moved the pocket
RPO,
that way,
right?
A little
yeah.
bit.
To the left.
It was when the tight ends, one on each side, and the tailback was behind him. Boom, he fakes it like he's going to run, like it was some kind of read run play, and he hits Fells for a touchdown. Cleanly a great scheme. Clearly caught the Patriots off guard. There's 14 points. That's more than they've given up all year to anybody else. Let me go back. You come out in the second
except
half.
Except Baltimore.
What that? No, I meant more than their average.
Yeah, more than their average.
14 points is more than their 10-point average. You've already exceeded their average at that point in time. Okay, let me go into the second half when, after the first half, you had Fells, Akins, Duke Johnson had catches. Steels had a catch underneath. So them safeties start creeping down because the game's starting to get out of control, and Belichick over there realizes – man, I don't know if I let this game get too far out of hand, I ain't going to be able to come back, right? So what's he do? He creeps the most safeties down there. Bill O'Brien, can we say that he's developed the quarterback to make the decision, or is that all Deshaun Watson?
That's all Deshaun.
Okay, I got you. Well, I mean, I don't know that I can win this argument with your guidelines, but nonetheless, they come out of the locker room where in the first half they clearly wanted to take them little underneath throws versus some of the different looks. They come out in the second half. They bang Fuller over the top because that safety got horny. He got about 6-7 yards off the line. I mean, off the line of scrimmage and took Fuller over the top. Oh, the ref tried to take it away from him.
Mm-hmm.
No. Let's come on back one more time and let's let the safety roll over the top of Hopkins. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and take Steele's backside on this. It was really kind of a corner route, and I think it was ad lib, but go ahead and take it over the top and put 21 points on the board. End of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, critical point in the game, big time chance to separate yourself in this game and make it very difficult for the Patriots to come back. What do they do? I believe it was 10 plays, 75 yards.
10 plays, 75-yard drive.
5 minutes and 18 seconds, and you design a nice little trick play that goes and scores a touchdown. And put you up 28-9, and essentially, which we later found out, clearly put the game out of reach because they tried to let the Patriots back in the game late. Mm-hmm. However, so you got some throws to your tight ends, some throws to your running back. You got some RPO action in there. You got a nice trick play that's called. You got a couple of shot plays that separated you, and you got a critical drive that puts you up 28-9. What else you got, baby? What else you need?
Can we just meet in the middle? I'll say Bill O'Brien, the GM, outdid Bill Belichick, the personnel guy. I think the Texans got better. No. I think the Texans got better Joes.
No. You ain't doing it.
I think the Texans got better players.
You ain't doing it. You can talk a dog off a meat wagon, but you ain't talking me off of this right here, baby.
I think the Texans just have better players than the Patriots at this point.
Well, that's a fair statement. And Romeo
and Bill O'Brien deserves credit for that.
Yeah, he does.
I think he's been. I think he's done a better job in season as a GM than he has as a coach.
Okay, no, you're making some very true statements. I mean, it's hard. It would be hard as a coach to outdo what he's done as a GM. It's been absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean,
especially in season. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's been phenomenal. The blemish, obviously, of letting the Clowney thing go sideways. That was obviously that hurt. But other than that, it's been absolutely beautiful, man. But he can be a good GM, and he could have outcoached Bill Belichick, the greatest to ever do it on Sunday, which he did. Those both can be true at the same time.
Mm. Clint Sterner, Landry Locker, live at Little Woodrow's. Lines are open, by the way. It is Football Friday, 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Is there any chance in hell that the Texans lose this game to the Broncos? Plus, the keys to the game with Clint and your calls as well. Clint and Landry rolls on next.
It'll be pretty emotional. And honestly, it hasn't really hit me yet. I mean, obviously, just preparing this week. But I'm sure once I get there and get in the stadium and start to see, you know, a lot of people that, you know, I call my friends and, you know, a lot of the guys that I play with, you know, it'll definitely be very emotional for me. Just try to, you know, keep that to a minimum as much as possible and, you know, just continue to focus on, you know, what we're there for.
Spanish station for the Houston Texans, Mega 101. They do community work like no other radio station. They're going to have their 9th annual Radiothon to benefit the Texans Children's Hospital. If you're interested in contributing, you can visit mega101fm.com. All money collected stays local to help our kids here in Houston. And Texans Children's Hospitals, they don't turn down any kid because of funds. Clint and I were talking before the break about Bill O'Brien out-coaching Bill Belichick. I think he's lost his damn mind. He thinks I've lost my damn mind. We at least said that he at least out GM Bill Belichick. We opened up the line 713-572-4610. Let's go out to Fletcher. Fletcher, go ahead. You're on with Clinton Landry.
All right. I'm gonna have to agree with the Dirty Bay boy there. You can have better players than the other team and still get out coached. I think Bill O'Brien put together a good game plan, and we're not saying that he's better than Belichick. Right, Belichick here right now, he's the GOAT coach, right? We're saying that last Sunday, Bill O'Brien out coached Bill Belichick, and I agree with that. So,
all right, Fletch, I appreciate you, my man.
That's a smart man right there. I bet he drinks cold Coors Light, too.
Fletch seems like more of a whiskey guy.
I like tequila, but I mean, I'm a tequila guy as well. But when I'm going to drink a cold beer, on my way home, I'm going to pull over and I want to wrap my hand around an aluminum can. It's a damn Coors Light.
Coors Light, make sure the mountains are blue. By the way, man, why do they sell those individually and then give you the brown bag? What do they think you're going to do? These people are going to wait till they get home to open it?
Come on, baby.
I mean, serious. And what is the point of the paper bag?
I don't know. I like the feel.
You like the feel because you're used to it. Yeah, but we get used to a lot of stupid stuff. Like,
why you got
to
question everything, huh?
Why would you not?
Why do you got to question everything? Just get your God damn bless it's just
me.
The way you do
God
it.
God bless me with a mind, but I'm just saying.
A little bit of one. You got three brain cells and two of them some bucks are fighting half the time. But, yeah, but go ahead.
But – why do I need that paper bag? Is it like so that, like, is a cop going to, like, is it so the cop doesn't see that you have the beer?
I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to guess that I'm going to guess that the first paper bag was put around a tall boy in a cup holder in a truck because the tall boy sweats and there was a little water would pool in your cup holder and people didn't like that. So they put that brown bag on, and that brown bag, it catches that sweat. If you drink it about quick enough, it catches enough of that sweat to where you don't have a water pooling in your cup holder. That's what I would guess.
Okay, then let me ask
you
this.
Damn, I'm good. That was quick, too. That was just right off the top.
No, but I'm going to come right back at you.
Then, surprise, surprise.
Then why don't they give me – then if I go to the convenience store and I get a soda, why don't they give me a brown bag? It's the same concept. It's like they think you're hiding a beer. Like, it's like you pull up to a light and you're drinking out of the brown bag. You think the cop's going to say, damn, is that beer? No, you can still open it, too.
No, that ain't got nothing to do with it. Some things you just do because it's what you do. You don't put a brown paper bag around a soda can when you buy it at the store. When was the last time you bought a soda can at the store?
I'm just saying, if I did, they wouldn't give me a brown bag.
Are you a soda can guy? I can't believe
you gotta
I said soda
out the
three
bottle.
Times.
You got to get out the bottle.
Yeah, you
got to
get out of the bottle, right?
Or the fountain.
Yes. I ain't had a fountain drink since I was about 12, too, at the convenience store on Park Street over there.
Oh, yeah? What was the go-to?
I don't know. I mean, I've always been a water guy. Water, sweet tea.
Your soda when you drink a soda? Like, when you would indulge in a soda every once in a while, what was it?
Oh, Sprite, probably.
Sprite?
Yep.
Okay.
I was a Sprite guy.
You mix Sprite with any liquor?
Yes. Crown and Sprite was a favorite of mine back in my heyday, yes.
What's the liquor that you can't sip? Like, everybody has that one where it's like, damn, if I smell that, I'm not touching that.
Well, I tell you, here's the deal. Vodka, when I was about 13, I think, I think somebody spiked
13?
One of my...
13?
Yeah, I think something like that. We started young, baby. We started young, man. It was, if you're going to do it at home, man. Yeah, it was about 13. I had a remember the Big Gulp Cup? Are you old enough to remember
Big
Gulp Cup?
Oh, hell yeah.
I had a Big Gulp Cup, and I was drinking orange juice and vodka out of it. I thought I was real cool. And I don't know if somebody spiked it or if I had too much, but I ended up hugging the toilet, locked myself in the only bathroom in the house, by the way. I wasn't raised like you in a three-bedroom, three-bath house. We had one bathroom, and I locked myself in that bathroom and fell asleep next to the crapper because I was puking. It was a bad deal. So I can't vodka. I can mix it, but I can't drink it. I can't drink it straight. It hurts me. The other thing is scotch. All my buddies that drink scotch. Did my parents catch me?
I mean,
is that what you
passed
said?
Out in the in the bathroom or anything? You were 13, Clint.
Yeah. We did. No, I don't know if they. I don't know if they were home. I don't remember. It didn't. Truth be told, it really didn't matter. They were probably sitting in the front yard. We had old green church pew that was an L shaped church pew.
Okay.
They were probably sitting out there drinking cold beer, watching traffic.
You were talking about scotch.
Scotch is bad. I got my buddies that like to keep up with the Joneses, and I was out with them one night, and they said, hey, man, we're on this scotch. Won't you give it a shot?
Dude.
So growing up, my dad had this big ashtray. He'd smoke in the house. Yeah. A big ashtray. And I hated that ashtray. And when I took that drink of scotch, it felt like I literally just licked my dad's ashtray. Ashtray. Listen, see, you got you got your little sideways right there. Man. So in other words, Scotch, it tasted like I literally was chewing on a cigarette. It was terrible. Man, it was awful.
My stepdad used to drink a bottle of Scotch a night, like Tanqueray. I'm serious. A bottle of Scotch a night. I'm not joking. He's dead because he was on the liver transplant list. So obviously, like, there. So I can't get down with the Scotch.
Scotch ain't it, man.
No. And you know you got these Jamokes on the text line now, 713-572-4610.
Well, you just haven't tried the right Scotch. You got to drink the right Scotch. That's always what Scotch drinkers say.
Maybe so. Or maybe the business deal that I was trying to make, maybe it just wasn't big enough for me to enjoy Scotch. Maybe that's the deal. I mean, look, to each their own, do what you want to do. I just not much of a Scotch guy. That is the best Christmas outfit I've ever seen in Texas right there, by the way.
My dude's got the short frat daddy shorts. He's got the lights, and he's got the ugly Christmas sweater.
That's money right there, man. I salute you, my brother. I salute you. That's good stuff.
McLean's going to look at Christmas lights tonight, man. That dude could have just stayed here in November.
Watched my boy walk through.
He could have, but yeah, you know, he's got to take his wife on the journey for the Christmas lights. I think they're going to River Oaks, and then I don't know where else. Clint Sterner, Landry Locker live at Little Woodrow's. Come by. It's not 6 o'clock yet.
He just banged on McLean. You talk about my man Shorts. I mean, it's unbelievable.
How is that a bang? I said he's going to look at Christmas lights.
This is the whole thing because it's tongue-in-cheek.
Come register to win Texas Bowl tickets. What do you mean?
I don't know. Yeah, y'all come through here and register to win some Texas Bowl tickets, and Locker will make fun of you when you come through,
man,
on your way out.
I'm just saying, like, Christmas lights, that's fine. Good
job,
John. Yeah,
no, I'm with you, Bob. I'm with you.
Man, I just don't know. John McLean surprised me with the Christmas lights. You weren't surprised to hear he was going to look at Christmas lights tonight?
No, not at all. Not at all. I wish I enjoyed that thing. I wish I enjoyed doing that a little bit more. My lady and her mother and hopefully their girlfriends, hopefully there's no men involved. I think they go look at Christmas lights too. I'm not a big fan of it.
And your lady will let you just chill while she goes and do it. That's why you got a good lady, right?
Well, I don't know. I don't like to use
my
the term
lady wouldn't
let
make
me.
That. My lady wouldn't make
let
me
do anything. It's not a let. Like, I don't let her do things. She don't
she
let me do things.
She wouldn't make a fuss if you didn't go.
She is an independent woman, and she's got her stuff together, and it's not a let. It's a hey, if that's what you want to do, you do your thing, and I'll be over here doing my thing.
There you go. Same thing. My girl gives me a little bit of rope. Sometimes I'll hang myself with it. Sometimes I don't.
See, that's the difference right there, is you end up trying to hang yourself with the rope instead of acting right. But that's okay. I get it. You're young. You're young. You'll figure it out.
It's all good. Clint Sterner, Landry Locker live at Little Woodrow's. Come by the way, Texas Bowl tickets. Let's hear from Kareem Jackson, Snoop Dogg, and others, and put a bow on this thing heading into a wonderful football weekend. We're going to put a bow on it next. Clint Sterner, Landry Locker live at Little Woodrow's Midtown. Man, we are about an hour and 20 minutes away from the start of one of the best football weekends you can imagine. This isn't like some Friday night chump game. This is a game that has college football playoff implications. Utah, if they win, they got a chance to get in. They're facing an Oregon team coming off a disappointing loss. And then tomorrow morning, you're going to have Oklahoma versus Baylor, all the other championship games, and of course the game on Sunday, which will feature Kareem Jackson, a familiar face. Clint Sterner,
absolutely a familiar face. Obviously 9 years right here in the city, played multiple positions. I can only speak to what I watched last year on film through some serious adversity on the defensive side of the football, a lot of injuries. My man Kareem Jackson bounced around from safety to corner to star position. And really, really was impressive. His tackling jumped off of the screen. And I don't know that you can give a DB, a bigger defensive back, obviously, a bigger compliment than to say that he's a hell of a tackler and he's the best tackler on the field and he's one of the best tacklers in the game. And he jumped off the film last year with his tackling. And then, obviously, we've had Mark Schlereth. We've had Big Al Williams, both Denver Broncos, both Super Bowl winning Denver Broncos have just high praise for Kareem Jackson and to the point where they put his name in the same sentence with some of the greatest to ever play the game in a Denver uniform.
I wouldn't say they did that. I would say Al did that. Slayer,
yeah,
I don't think Slayer is going to say that he's in the Steve Atwater category, especially considering he went to war with him and won a couple rings.
You are correct, sir. Big Al was the one that they both had high praise for Kareem Jackson, obviously. But you are right. Big Al's the one that put his name in the light with the likes of Steve Atwater and others that played there.
And we also know how good of a player Kareem was in Houston, but it was about more than that. Kareem Jackson not only, you know, found himself as his career went on after a disappointing start, but he was also very valuable in the community, one of the most entertaining players in that locker room. So you got to think a lot's going through the mind of Kareem Jackson as he returns to the place that he called home for 9 years. He met with the media yesterday, and here's just a little bit of what Kareem Jackson had to say in anticipation of his return to H-Town.
You go back to Houston. Is it personal this week for you?
No, it's not personal. For me, it's another game on the schedule. I mean, obviously, with me having ties there for 9 years, you know, I mean, never been in this situation going back to a place where I played before, but be good to see some familiar faces and stuff. But I mean, other than that, is, you know, it's another game on the schedule, you know, and I prepare the same way I prepare any other week.
Are you giving your input more this week than typical, whether it's to coaches or teammates?
Just try to help, you know. I mean, obviously our offense, with me being in that particular scheme for, you know, so long, I just try to help them as much as I can. But, I mean, you know, we got a ton of smart coaches and players. I mean, you know, they can look at the film and pretty much see, you know, what they want to do game plan wise. But, I mean, whatever they ask me, if I have, you know, if I know it or if I have any type of input, you know, I just try to help them as much as I can.
He plays for the Rams now. They played his former team, the Ravens, this year. He said he wasn't going to divulge any information on his former team because it's the team he had just played for. Obviously, you're coming from the Texans. You just said you'd be willing to give some information.
Yeah, I mean.
You don't agree with Eric?
I mean, why wouldn't I give up any information that, you know, that I have or I can help them with? You know, I mean, that was my old team. This is my team now. You know, for me, it's all about playing for the guys in this locker room and playing for this organization. You know, anything I can give them to help, you know, I mean, it's all in the name of winning, in my opinion.
You said it's just another game, but what do you expect the emotions to be like when you step back out onto that field that you spent almost a decade on?
It'll be pretty emotional. And honestly, it hasn't really hit me yet. I mean, obviously, just preparing this week, but I'm sure once I get there and get in the stadium and start to see, you know, a lot of people that, you know, I call my friends and, you know, a lot of the guys that I play with, you know, it'll definitely be very emotional for me. Just try to, you know, keep that to a minimum as much as possible and, you know, just continue to focus on, you know, what we're there for.
Clint Sterner, Landry Locker live at Little Woodrow's Midtown. Before we get into Hot Fudge's four keys to the game, I want to share my favorite Kareem Jackson memory when he was in Houston. Clint, I think you might like this.
Absolutely.
So we got to interview him a lot on this station. It was his last interview with Sports Radio 610 at the Super Bowl. We were at the Super Bowl in Atlanta, and I got Kareem Jackson to co-sign something, an accusation that I threw out there about probably one of the most hated men in Houston. And I don't like questioning. I never question a guy's heart, a professional athlete's heart, but I do question the integrity of T.Y. Hilton when it comes to falling down on the ground about 13 times a game and then going out there and scoring like a 75-yard touchdown. So I've always said that T.Y. Hilton is dramatic and he fakes injuries a little bit, so I decided to ask someone who did battle with him a long time if he felt the same way, and this is what it sounded like. Do you get tired of T.Y. Hilton limping off the field after every play and then coming back full speed 10 seconds later?
I think he'd be playing possum, man.
Thank you. Nope. Unless they got some holy water in Indianapolis or something like that. That dude goes out there, swigs and drinks water.
He's playing possum, or he's just that tough. But, he's a great player, man. So I'd like to think he's that tough. But, I mean, some of those things, you look at him like, man – come on, man.
He's like a dramatic peewee football player.
He's like, no, I'm going to limp off. I'm going to come back and
run
save the day.
Two.
Like, what the heck?
He said, like, what the hell?
He admitted it.
Look, that was good. That's good. Well done, Landry. Well done right there. And look, he obviously stayed correct and made sure he added, well, maybe he's just that tough. But there's no doubt about it. He liked the question.
Every damn game, Clint. Let's go through the keys to the game. Clint Sterner's four keys for the Houston Texans on Sunday at noon at NRG, a game you'll hear right here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Pretty simple. We've been talking about it multiple times over the last month, maybe even 6 weeks. The first drive of this football game is absolutely huge. The Texans have to get over this hump of starting games slowly when they come out of the locker room at the beginning of the game. Let me hit you with some numbers. 12 opening drives this year, 68 plays, 150 total yards, 8 punts, 3 turnovers, 3 total points. Jeez, 3 points, great. 3 turnovers. That eventually, at some point this season, as the Texans roll on, probably in the playoffs, but you never know when it's going to happen, the first drive blues are going to be a problem, and they're going to bite the Texans in the tail. I think this is a week where you really got to put an emphasis on getting out of the locker room and correcting the problem that you've slowly come out of the locker room for 12 weeks now.
And you might not need it against Denver, but it's nice to get that monkey off your back heading into the final,
you know,
3 weeks, right?
The point, you know, with Denver, it's one of those where there's no excuse not to. Like, you know, hey, when it's New England, or it's Buffalo, or even the Colts are a pretty solid defense. Hey, you know what? It happens. But there's been multiple times this year where you've had the opportunity versus a lesser opponent. You've had much more talent on the offensive side of the football than your opponent has on the defense. And clearly, you've not come out of the locker room with a fast start. I think that's something all coaches talk about, all quarterbacks and offenses expect to do every time they come out of the locker room, and the Texans got to get better in that department. Carlos Hyde. I do not want to scare you again, Landry Locker. I don't have to go get you off the ledge out there and make sure you don't jump. But Carlos Hyde is going to be big this week. I don't believe they force the run and try to run into a box that has an extra helmet and an extra defender in it. But I do believe that establishing the run when the numbers and the box count is right, I think, is critical this week. This team is the fifth best defense in the league versus the pass. The secondary's playing very well. They've got some veterans that can disguise some things. Deshaun's had problems with that in the past. And so I believe that this week it's absolutely important that they get the run game going. And so Carlos Hyde is my guy. I don't care if it's 20 carries for 80 yards. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I don't need you to break a 20 or 30 or a 40-yard run. I don't need you to have 4 touchdowns. I just think this week a big key to victory is Carlos Hyde getting downhill and producing between the tackles when the numbers are right.
How do you feel about the nickname El Guapo?
El Guapo, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan, but it's
Carlos's nickname. And
I've heard him.
Lopez isn't happy because he thinks Vandy uses it and nobody knows what he's talking about.
Right. Well, I don't know. I would know, but simply because we do it every day and we talk about the guy. But I don't know. I mean, is that because his first name's Carlos?
I asked him about it when he got here, and he just said someone gave it to him. He's just rolled with it.
That, what does that mean, handsome?
El Guapo? I don't know.
Georgie,
I know El Chapo.
What does El Guapo mean? Handsome, right?
Yes, sir.
Handsome. There you go. You had to think about that. What happened,
you're Americanized.
You got to polish up your Spanish, bro.
You can use it different ways, but yeah, handsome's the most.
El Guapo. Yeah, I mean, so I don't know. I mean, is he a handsome cat? You see, I made you nervous right there. You're not comfortable talking about other men being handsome,
are
you?
I don't mind. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to give you an honest answer.
My bad. Well, I mean, you've seen the guys.
I mean,
there's
some ugly guys. He's always got a clean haircut. Takes good care of himself. Classic. Yeah.
There you go.
I'll say Carlos Hyde's handsome.
Well, Carlos Hyde is my second key. I mean, he's got to be productive in the run game this week versus Denver, and he should be there. I think they're number 20 versus the run in the league, which. There's not much separates number 20 defense in this league from number 13 or 14 defense in this league relative to rushing yards per game or rushing yards allowed per game. But still, they're number 20 in this league, and the Texans should be able to produce on the ground this week.
That guy on that TV right there for Iowa, ass ugly.
Yeah.
Next, P3.
That's right. Multiple looks by the secondary. I think you've got a young quarterback in Drew Locke. You've got Courtland Sutton is a young receiver in this league, and they're very, very talented. They can spin it around the park. He can go make plays with his feet as well. Sutton obviously can go make big plays in the pass game, but they are two young guys that throwing different looks at them and with this secondary can confuse them and give the Texans an advantage. There's no doubt about it. And as we've mentioned all week long, the Texans, they're six defensive backs. I say four cover guys and two safeties. They're very, very savvy. They're very skilled at showing different looks. So I would expect that to be a big-time key. And no-brainer, it's going to be the approach going in. But I would expect that to be a big key. That'll be a big part of this game in confusing Locke and Sutton. Oh, there it is, number four. I'm going to add one right here. Benardrick McKinney and Zach Cunningham inside dealing with Lindsey, right? Dealing with Philip Lindsey, the running back for the Denver Broncos, and dealing with Noah Fant, the tight end for the Denver Broncos. So I'm going to add Gibson to my mix, right?
Okay.
I'm going to add Gibson to that mix. And it's Benardrick McKinney, Zach Cunningham, and Gibson. The middle of that defense, second level and third level, I mean linebacker level and secondary level, those guys, Gibson, Cunningham, and Benardrick McKinney, the way those three guys handle Philip Lindsey in a run game and Noah Fant, the tight end, and make sure those guys are completely nixed from producing for the Denver Broncos offense, that will be key. Those guys, those are the two guys that I think athletically, if you let them, they can constantly chop wood and rattle off chunk plays if you don't keep a good tight eye on them. And I believe that Zach Cunningham, Gibson, and McKinney are guys that can do that.
That's Hot Fudge's four keys. Real quick, give the people the list of what those four keys are.
First drive, the numbers are absolutely unacceptable. That the first drive's got to improve. Carlos Hyde's got to be productive on the ground. On the defensive side of the football, the secondary's got to give multiple looks. And Gibson, McKinney, and Cunningham up the gut have to take care of Philip Lindsey and Noah Fant. That's the running back for the Denver Broncos, Lindsey, and the tight end for the Denver Broncos, Noah Fant. Those are two guys that can hurt you. Those three guys, two linebackers and a safety, we'll have to keep a good close eye on those two.
I'll tell you what, of all those keys, the fourth one I feel good about because I think Benardrick McKinney and Zach Cunningham, complete ballers. Benardrick McKinney does the dirty work, Pro Bowler last year. And Zach Cunningham, I almost have to apologize to Zach Cunningham, not because I've ever questioned what he can do, but it seems like on every Reaction Monday I'll go on the air and I'll be like, Zach Cunningham played a good game, almost like it's icing. Like, damn, this guy had 16 tackles, almost like it's like a surprise.
Yeah.
I think you just need to expect it at this point from him, that he is a key contributor. It ain't no icing no more.
Yeah.
He's part of the cake.
There's a couple of things, though. That, like, Benardrick McKinney, they add him to the speed rush. So they add him, like, an A-gap or a B-gap rusher a lot of the time. So that'll take him out of the mix. I mean, I think as far as being responsible for the running back or the tight end, I do like to put him in that bunch because, obviously, he's a monster in the middle. Zach Cunningham, man, I've said this multiple times, sideline to sideline, the dude's a monster. He's going to rack up tackle numbers, but he's always going to be the guy that's responsible for guarding the look quick back out of the backfield or the tight end, you know, up the seam or in the red zone. He's a guy that if the linebacker's on the field, if there's not a nickelback in the field, if they're not in dime personnel where all four of those DBs are in there, then Zach Cunningham's going to be in the mix, and he's going to be responsible to cover a good athlete.
Even more with Cole out.
Yep,
you know, that's
no
something
doubt.
Dylan Cole could do when he was on the field.
No doubt, because Cole could roll, brother.
Cole can run.
That's right.
Cole can definitely run. Clint Sterner, Landry Locker live at Woodrow's. We're about to put a bow on this. Football weekend's about to start. We're about an hour away from a game with championship implications. But before we do, Clint, you know what time it is. You got to give that prediction to the Tennessee walkthrough.
Oh, stop
tune
it.
Up.
Tennessee tune-up. See, you said it so many times, you can't even remember what the hell
it
is.
I'm changing it to a walkthrough now. I'm changing it to a walkthrough now.
Ah, man, I tell you what, I do like the Texans. I do like the Texans to run away with this one. I'm going to say 38-10. 38-10.
How in the hell are you going to give me all this crap for the 8 hours we've been on the air the last 2 days for calling it the Tennessee tune-up, and then you're going to pick them to win by four touchdowns?
Well, I mean, because the reason they go 38-10 is because nobody in that locker room's looking at this like a tune-up or a scrimmage game or a walkthrough. They're going to take them serious. They're going to go out there and they're going to put a hell of a performance on the field. And when you do that, and you're as talented as the Texans are, then you get rewarded with a big-time victory. And this is a game that they should go out there and put a big-time performance on the field. It would be the worst thing that the Texans could ever do is if they follow up a nice, solid victory versus a 10-1 New England team with a losing performance to the Denver Broncos. And I think this team is smarter than that. I think they're above that. I don't think they're going to backslide down and play down to their opponent. I think they've taken that next step. And I think with that said, the team understands and they put a hell of a performance out there. I go 38-10. Big week for the offense.
I think the Texans show up in their pajamas and they win 27-to. Is Drew Lock going to score any point? 27-9.
Nine.
I'll go 27.
I got
to nine.
One up on you. I got 10. He went 9. I like it.
Go, I'll go 27-9. And by the way, that spread's down to 8 now.
What's the total? See how close I am. I bet it's low 40s.
I'm not sure. I don't know what the total is.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting though, and of course, Reaction Monday will be fun. Thanks to the promo team for taking care of us out here at Little Woodrow's Midtown. Thanks to George for doing what he do, even though his Spanish skills are kind of slacking a little bit. Thanks to John McClain, who's looking at Christmas lights right now. Congratulations to him on that, and best of luck to his Baylor Bears tomorrow.
Yeah, no doubt. Which one of those college games you like the best? We didn't get a chance to.
Oh
really,
yeah, we
got to
give our money. I'm taking the over in the Big 12 championship because those teams have to get style points.
Oh, nice.
It's indoors. They both need style points. Over 63 is mine. You got one that you like as well.
I love LSU -6.5 over Georgia, and I love it so much that I'm scared of it.
I know the feeling.
One of those too good to be trues, baby.
I know the feeling, man. The football weekend is starting right now. Oregon at Utah. Come by to Little Woodrow's at Midtown. Check it out. Listen to the game Sunday, starting with pregame with Sean and Seth at 9 o'clock. For Clint Sterner and Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he does, I'm Landry Locker. My favorite edition of Texans Radio, the Friday edition with John Harris, is next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.